Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Getting rolling into week number 8 right here on College Football Today. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and former Cincinnati Bearcat and New York Giant Sam Garns. We spoke about the Washington State-Oregon battle with Jamie Heath from Sports Brokers. When you look at this matchup, Washington State has won the last 3 games over Oregon by 19.3 points per game. Picked up this win last year, 33-10 over the Ducks in Eugene. I like Washington State here.
So
I think the physicality on the defensive side of the ball. Tracy Clays in that defense.
No, Joe, you were right. I mocked you in September. Clays has done a very good job. He's picked up where Alex Grinch has left off. They're very chaotic. They're disruptive on defense. Gabe mentioned the spot, and I get it. But the spot is just pulling me to Pullman. There's too much.
It's the Pullman pull.
It's the Pullman pull.
The Pullman pull.
Kind of like it's the opposite of the Bush push, I guess, right? the spot here is impossible to ignore. Just think about this. Let me just make my case real quickly as to why Washington State's one of my best bets. Okay, Oregon, emotional win over their hated rival. Game they should have lost. Go to overtime. They win that game. Emotional home game. Now they go on the road. Everybody's saying, hey, maybe Oregon's a team to beat in the Pac-12. Okay, so they're dealing with that. Washington State, this historic game with ESPN Game Day showing up, the crowd like we've never seen before on the Palouse.
It's going to be
off of a bye. Amazing. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. And oh, by the way, they have covered 8 straight over Oregon. They've won 10 straight at Martin Stadium. To me, there's too much heading in this direction. I think Oregon and Mario Cristobal's done a great job. But one of their best offensive line, Penei Sewell, the left tackle, is out for this game. So that disruption of Tracy Clays, I think, becomes a problem. I have to take Washington State.
It's the physicality for me, Gabe. I mean, here's the thing. Minus Justin Herbert, that defense wore down the offensive line. And more importantly, it's double emotional games. Rich mentioned it. Washington, even though they lost that battle, they beat up the Ducks on the interior. Washington State doesn't get enough credit for the physicality, both offensively and defensively.
One thing we got to bring up, too, from a gaming perspective, guys, we talked about Michigan State's dominance in the series and a rivalry. Washington State have covered 8 straight games in this series.
You just said it, yeah.
Yeah, so they've won 3 straight. They've won 3 straight outright, covered 8 straight. You know, I wonder how much I'm going to play contrarian here and just sort of play the devil's advocate that the kids are over last week. That physically, they're young. Oregon have depth. They've actually got their wide receiver back as well, coming back this week, the Ducks do. Yeah, you know, and Sam was talking about sometimes playing at home can be a detriment. I like similar situation. I actually like the Giants this week going on the road because I think they're going to be better off away from home. I think you get the Cougars here at home. Ton of pressure for the college game day. The Ducks feel that they're better. I know to us, they're still trying to build themselves up, but the Ducks have that pedigree and swagger that I think that they can overcome. You know, to me, Washington State are good, but they're not great. I think the Ducks have more talent and will be able to get this done.
Well, here's the thing I want to ask Sam, too. Perception. You talk about perception. I think the perception is all over Oregon in this matchup. Everybody's looking and enamored that they beat
betting Washington State. That's why it's a hipster bet.
I don't think it's a hipster bet. How is it a hipster bet when everybody bet Oregon last week and won?
It's a hipster bet this week. It's one of the spots. It's the same thing. I don't like comparing
NFL. I don't think hipsters know where Pullman is. Do they?
It's the same thing with like the Chicago Bears tomorrow against the Patriots. It's the same type of point spread. It's 2.5. Everybody you talk to likes the Bears. The spot, the situation. Everybody thinks they're smart because they know that Oregon played overtime last week. So what? They're kids. They're going to get over that. Justin Herbert is on a mission to be the number one pick taken. He's on a mission to try to get these guys into the college football playoff. No one's taking the Ducks seriously, to be honest, Joe. No one, after the Ducks won, everyone's like, wow, there goes the Pac-12. Yeah. No one for the Pac-12 is going to make it now. Why can't the Ducks make it to the playoffs?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm curious to see the atmosphere. I'm curious to see because USC has been into Pullman and come out with a loss in recent years, and they were a more physical
team. It's a tough place to play.
You know, it's very tough. Sam, when you look at the defensive matchup in this battle, playing an up-tempo type of offense with five wide and where they're going to run it, you know, every 15 seconds, how does that put a wear and tear as a defensive back having to defend the whole game 60 minutes?
Well, one thing you know, he's going to have to make a lot of open field tackles, and that is tough. You know, I think a lot of people say hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do, but to me, tackling someone that's like 5'11", 230 pounds, that can either run through you or run over you in open field is one of the toughest things to do in sports.
I'd rather, as an outsider here, Sam, I'd rather try to hit a baseball than tackle a running back at me.
It's really difficult because they're trying to get in end zone, and you're trying to stop them from getting in end zone, except they got 53 yards of width in front of them.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think Washington State wins this game. I think 17. I think they wear them down late.
Joey, digits. What, by 17?
Yeah, why not?
Route them.
Yeah, I they're at home.
Your new nickname should be alternate spread.
Well, here's
that's what you can bet, like alternate spread.
Yeah, I bet there's
alternate spread. You do bet alternate spread,
don't
you?
I do. I love the alternate spread. I did it in baseball, actually, with Tampa Bay and Boston Red Sox when I was in Vegas playing Hawaii. I actually took the alternate spread. Tampa Bay was plus 140 on the money line, but laying a run and a half, they were plus 265.
All right, let me check some numbers here. I'm going to check some numbers just for the fun of it. We'll throw out some alternate numbers here for Joey Double D, Rich, that like somebody's blows.
So you're
saying Michigan, well, Michigan.
See, I think Michigan wins by 14, and that's one of my best bets of the day. I'm all in with Michigan. To me, they are a legitimate team. I picked them at the start of the year, but they're playing like that type of team, not just defensively. Offensive line is really starting to wear down opponents. And say what you would about Wisconsin. That was a Wisconsin defense that was still only allowing 130 rushing yards.
So Michigan win by 14. Sorry, Sam. Michigan win by 14, plus 175.
Yeah, why not?
Plus 175.
If you think they're going
to
win by 7, why
wouldn't
you take... Yeah, why would? But my point is,
how are they going to beat them? But come on, I'm a Michigan fan.
Because it's college football.
If you think about Michigan when they played Notre Dame, it was really one half when Notre Dame dominated them.
Yeah.
After that first half, Michigan's been the better team.
And that was Shea Patterson's first game as Wolverine.
Correct. That was his first chance to go out there and show what he got, and he's probably a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
But after he got the nerves out of him, they play a lot better from then since on.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it's a 17-point win. Again, if you want to take a shot with Washington State, I think it's high scoring. I think there'll be a lot of points. You think high scoring as well?
Well, these two teams, I have to. I don't know what the number is in terms of under over, but I have to think there'll be a lot of points, a lot up and down.
Yeah, we'll
I think
see.
One thing Oregon got going for them is they both have great quarterbacks, but they have CJ Verdell. I think that's his name.
Yep.
And I think CJ Verdell, and he's at 100 yards every game, and that's something that you got to be prepared for.
And the running backs in the short to intermediate passing game, I mean, that's
Washington
what Mike
State Lee, does a good job of getting those guys involved in the
passing game. One-on-one opportunity. Sure. So
James Williams.
That'll be the matchup to see play out against smaller linebackers and nickelbacks in that matchup. We'll turn our attention to the Big 12 battle. Oklahoma on the road in Fort Worth to face TCU. TCU team sitting at 3-3 overall. Oklahoma has dominated the series in recent years, won 5 of the last 6 by 11.8 points per game. They won both matchups last year in Norman and in the Big 12 championship game. Oklahoma hasn't lost back-to-back games since 1999. Now, granted, that was with Bob Stoops at the helm.
First year, I think, his debut.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect spot for TCU. I still like the way their defense is playing, Rich. I think they push them to the limit. I think they win a high-scoring battle, 45-40. It's make it or break it for Gary Patterson.
Unless Trevon Boykin has eligibility that I'm unaware of, I don't see
he's arrested,
it
actually.
I think I just saw him on the way to the station.
He was punching a cop.
I think... If we can get him on probation and bring him into this game, because Sean Robinson has been awful.
Inconsistent.
And I know it's the Oklahoma defense. Right. I don't expect Ruffin McNeil to be a miracle worker. But in talking to people at Oklahoma, Mike Stoops' message just was not resonating any longer. So I think you still have the personnel the same. You're not going to be changing schemes midseason defensively. But hearing from Ruffin McNeil, maybe these kids play a little bit better. TCU offensively has not impressed me. Let me throw a stat out to you, which shocked me when I read it. Gary Patterson in Fort Worth last 16 games against the spread, 2-14.
Yeah.
So there's no home field advantage here. I'm going to say this right now. Oklahoma has lost its last game of the regular season. I think they sweep the rest of the schedule, beat Texas in the Big 12 title game. I think they win the Big 12 championship. Kyler Murray's on a mission,
yes,
a la Tim Tebow. He's going to come out. He won't ransack the TCU defense because TCU is still good defensively. I think they win this game. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
By double digits.
Whoa! I agree. I'm right there with you.
Richie Sizzle!
I'm right there with
Richie
you.
Richie Sizzle!
I'm going to agree.
Well, here's the thing. Now I know I'm right. No, I'm not
going to agree.
Here's the thing that I wanted to bring up because it was posed to me last night, and I really feel strong about it. We put Lincoln Riley in this elite category because of last year getting them to the playoff. I don't think he's an elite head coach. Yeah, just
with,
wait.
With Baker Mayfield.
Yes, with Baker Mayfield.
He is an elite offensive mind. Yeah, I'll say that.
But when I said I think the coaching advantage, head coaching advantage, still goes to Gary Patterson in this battle. They said, no, you're crazy because how could you say that? He took him to the college football
Gary
playoff.
Patterson is a more
he's still a raw head coach. Let's be honest.
Of
he got out-coached by Kirby Smart.
But what wins in college football,
talent,
Joe?
Talent.
Yeah.
Talent. Who's got the better talent?
Correct.
This is what it comes down to me.
But when you have a senior quarterback that completes 71% of his passes, you can make up for
it. I know.
You
can not to mention Orlando Jones' kid there, Orlando Brown's kid that was,
So I'm just saying, I just wanted to get your sentiment with that because, again, he's
a good head coach,
but he's not this elite head coach.
Well, let's be honest. The jury's still out, Joe.
Yeah, of course.
The jury's still out. It's his second year.
Listen, if you can't judge
a guy who played with another guy's players. We're going to judge Lincoln Riley in three or four years. We see him coaching with the kids that he recruits.
Totally understood.
And I think he'll be a very good head coach. I think the potential is there.
But at this point in his career.
No, you're 100% right. Listen, if you're playing in the Big 12, you have to be able to score points.
Right.
And TCU in its last three Big 12 games.
Inconsistent.
47 points, including 14 against Texas Tech. Everybody is hailing David Gibbs, the Texas Tech defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I know.
David Gibbs has been okay.
Yeah. Well, recall, Rich.
I mean, he's been a middle
of
the
road. If you guys remember, one of the first weeks of the year, maybe it was week two or whatever, I bet on TCU. We laid the 21, the Lightning game.
Against SMU?
The Friday night against SMU was a delay. TCU ended up winning. If you didn't watch the game, you look at the box score in the morning. Look, TCU won 48, whatever. Easy win for TCU. It really wasn't.
No.
And remember, I noted. I said, man, this Robinson kid's got a hard time throwing the ball, Rich. I remember talking about it in the morning. I said, I don't like picking on college quarterbacks and picking on kids. But said, this kid's going to have a hard time in spots when you're not playing SMU. And you just don't have the better talent. And they don't have the better talent here. And Oklahoma are going to be an angry team.
Right.
Coming off a bye.
That was my point.
They don't lose back-to-back games, Oklahoma, in here.
That's my point right there. I feel like Oklahoma's coming to this game off a bye week after a loss to Texas with big chip on their shoulder. You know, we talked about going a year with losing to a team, but a week off after losing a game that everybody expected you to win. That really gets you too, and they're going to come into this game with chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I expect Oklahoma to come
out. I think Oklahoma rolls. I'll be double D here.
What I look at. I'll just throw in a couple of stats. I mean, 30% third down defense for TCU, 17 total sacks, and you look at Oklahoma's defense as a whole, they're allowing 156 rushing yards on the ground, and more importantly, 265 through the air to opposing quarterbacks. Again, Sean Robinson, you said it, 9 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, very, very inconsistent. But to me, this is their bowl game. I mean, if you're going to get TCU's best shot, the pressure's on. They lost the Thursday night game, a couple of extra days of preparation, and Gary Patterson as an underdog. I'll take that scenario. I think they get a high-scoring victory.
Do you want to bang off a couple of games now, or you want to do it on the other side? Because we're falling behind. We've got a lot of questions. And
Jump in. We have a few minutes till the break.
All right, let's go rapid fire. We've got a couple of minutes. Buffalo Bulls. Our boy James Ross asked about
like
Buffalo
the
Bulls game.
I love Toledo there. I think the speed team going up against Tyree Jackson, if they put the pressure on Buffalo's offense.
Toledo a bit of disappointment this year to me.
Ooh,
last Toledo. Week against Eastern Michigan was a good example.
Right? I still like Toledo. They're playing at home in that ball game. I just think that they could force the tempo on Buffalo. If Buffalo falls behind, I don't have a lot of confidence in that offense.
Sam, you were talking about how kids don't like playing against the military academies because you know you're going to get exposed on tape in the team meeting because this guy, man, how come he didn't get in front of this? Because that kid's a little sergeant coming at me.
When you face an Army or Navy or one of those teams like that, you know that I don't care what the score is and it's 5 minutes left in the game, they're going to be coming hard as if it was the game just started. They're going to play, give you their best the whole game, and it's
Miami,
tough to deal
Ohio,
with.
Ohio, and Army.
I'm against everybody. I like Miami. Yeah,
I love Army. One of my best bets of the day.
Yeah, not one of my best bets.
Army and Jeff Monken has done just such a remarkable job. Cross
country trip doesn't worry you from San Francisco last week?
No, not for Army kids.
Yeah.
Army kids are different. The makeup is a lot different. I don't think they're moved
Rutgers, Northwestern. We joke about Rutgers. Rutgers are, as someone in the chat saying, a dumpster fire. They've covered one number. They're getting worse, Sam, on a weekly basis.
I got Northwestern without even looking.
Yeah. But that's the hot. Just
really, you don't care what the number is.
I just know what I know about Rutgers. I'm going with Northwestern.
Yeah, here's the thing about Northwestern.
This is the biggest favorite Northwestern's ever been in their history.
What is
the
number?
20 and a half.
20 and a half.
It can win by 21.
Never,
I just can't
think about that, Rich. Northwestern have never been 20 and a half point road favorites in their lives.
They come to play every week. That's one thing about them.
That just tells you that, and I understand the Vegas angle on that, but you're talking about a Rutgers team that got blown out by Maryland. I don't like the game. I would suggest not betting it.
It's
but
a tough one, late 20 and a half.
I can't go against Northwestern's defense, especially in
run
support.
Roll them.
They
you know, you guys
the
hear the story about
Rutgers.
The duffel bag boy in Vegas?
Well, he was right. I told you he was right.
He's been fading Rutgers on a weekly basis. Yeah, but this guy's dropping
Army
100K a week against Rutgers.
And
he's killing
Army
it.
Was the pick. Remember
smart.
He bet Army?
He's just betting against Rutgers.
San Jose.
Yes.
And the public
he was
faded
on Army
him.
Last week,
and
too.
And the public faded him. It opened up at 16.5. They dumped it to 14.5. And he was right.
They won by, like, 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Here's one in Sam's wheelhouse, Temple and Cincinnati.
Yeah, we're going to get to that game. I like Temple. I do, too.
A lot of people have Temple as the favorite.
I just think the physicality on the offense. Again, Temple at home, different animal. I love the way Russo's playing.
Yeah, Cincinnati had that big win in the opener at UCLA. Despite the fact that it was Chip's first game, that's still impressive going out to LA and winning that game. But I don't think they've been tested. I think they'll be tested against Temple.
They're a very confident team, and they got talent across the board. I mean, for Cincinnati's level, you know, they have talent across the board.
Did you expect Desmond Ritter to be this good?
Not at all.
Quickly?
Not at all. I think
Moore was there, right?
Yeah, with Hayden Moore.
Yeah, I think the head coach is doing a great job over there.
Yeah. What about the atmosphere? That's a great stadium. I mean, it really is. It's on campus, but
Nippert
I like that
stadium.
It's grown. You know, it's kind of in the ground. If you've ever been there, it's like below ground. And when I was there, it wasn't that many. If you play Kentucky was our best game because we know he's going to bring half, even fill half the stadium. So it's grown a lot. But back then, it wasn't very big.
Wow.
Are they building a new stadium? Because I know they're building a soccer stadium,
they're
right?
Adding they're adding on to it. They're adding on to it. They're building practice facilities. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Wow. We'll see. What else you got?
I think it's a great atmosphere there, personally, now.
Now is definitely good.
All right. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the other top 25 games. Keep it where it is. Jolisi Ritzsermanello, Gabe Morenci, and Sam Gorns coming.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Back on College Football Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports
Radio
and Television.
Can't stop talking football even during the breaks here.
That's it. We're rocking and rolling, talking about all the Week 8 matchups. The DailyRoto.com NBA Lineup Optimizer is now available. That means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week for NBA DFS contests. You've heard a lot about the DailyRoto.com NFL DFS optimizer here on the Fantasy Sports Network and how its subscribers are winning tournament prizes on FanDuel and DraftKings in the thousands, hundreds of thousands, and the seven figures, $1 million winners that they've produced. Well, now you can double your pleasure and cash in on the NBA Daily Fantasy Party 2. If you're playing Daily Fantasy Sports and you aren't using the Daily Roto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're doing it wrong. You're at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium, enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. DailyRoto.com, the site where millionaires are made. Yes, millionaires. I didn't check my Mega Millions tickets. So
I think it's billions now, isn't
billions.
It?
Billions. Yeah. Why make billions when you can make millions?
I played one ticket last night. I saw the numbers were not mine.
Not even close for me.
Actually, you know what? I was telling people last night, if I win, I was actually going to place the largest wager in the history of sports wagering.
Bet it all? You were going to bet it all?
No, even
let it ride.
Bet it on Northwestern.
Yeah, exactly. Against Rutgers.
Let it ride.
$984 million on Northwestern versus Rutgers.
Jake Cornegay's head would $100 explode.
$100
million. $1
million. No, 100.
$100 million. $100 million.
It's not the biggest bet. The biggest bet I know of is a $50 million was an Asian soccer bet, World Cup. The Asian syndicates in Macau.
Wow. Okay.
But no, I was going to wager if I win $984 million, I will bet $100 million on one game.
Huh? Wow. So that's what, real quick, guys, if you win a billion, what would you do? Real quick. Sam?
Oh, man, that's great. Quick. Real quick, I'll buy a bunch of real estate.
Okay. Smart. I'd open a coffee shop at the beach.
That's real estate.
I would start.
That's what I want.
Our endeavor that we're working on. Okay. Yes, I would start that. I don't want to pop it out of the hat just yet.
I
would go all in on that.
You would fund it, the whole thing.
I would fund the whole thing.
I would buy Joe Lisi his dream house and his dream town, Akron, Ohio.
Well, there you go. You better have
right on campus.
I'll tell you this. You better have a football
right next
field
to Coach
there.
Bowden. You're going to move in right next door on me.
I thought you were going to say his dream blazer you were going to buy.
No, I'll get him a house in Akron. It costs the same as a blazer.
I'd be like Liberace with diamonds on it. Give me a diamond.
Oh, one of these red years, water. I want
well,
to see
let me
you.
Just say this, man. We were talking during the week. I was at Bally's last week in AC. I was kicking field goals, okay, in the casino.
What do you mean?
They have the field goal,
okay?
They have the field goal posts with the football.
There's a ball and there's an upright with a net?
Yep.
Is it in the bar?
It's in the casino in the sports book in Bally's. So I'm in the Wild West.
Listen, people get pissed off and start kicking football? It's like, what's
no, it's better than kicking
net.
The dog,
the
right?
Net. It's in a batting cage.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I was simulating Washington's kicker shanking it to the right against Oregon. I still couldn't believe it. I'm like, just.
Well, how far of a field goal kick? What can you do?
It's about 20 feet.
What can you do? What have you kicked, though, before? Like, I used to have fun.
I kicked a 35-yarder.
That's as far as I could get, too. You
know, but that's with no tee, though. That's
I got to 35. No, me, too. I was on a tee because I didn't have
I'm
a holder.
Horrible, you know.
And it was barely getting there. I couldn't get to 40. And I couldn't imagine. I didn't have guys like Sam coming in with their hands up, you know.
That's tough.
Well, here's
what. Can you kick a field goal, Sam? You ever try and practice running?
You know what we used to do? We used to put the football on your toe.
Right.
And kick it from there because without a tee, you used to put it on your toe.
A makeshift tee.
I kicked a couple of toes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of kicking a couple of toes, Washington and Colorado, it's going to be very hard, in my opinion, for Washington to bounce back. I mean,
it's like two drunk guys getting up first, right?
This was a team that was supposed to make it to the college. This was a team that was supposed to be a college football playoff contender.
Yeah.
And now you lose to Oregon the way you did in overtime. Now you bounce back to a gutty team in Colorado that's coming off 31-20 loss at USC. I still like Steven Montez here. I know Trayvon McMillan's banged up, but I'll still take the 17 points with the Buffaloes on the road in Seattle. I think they're a live dog today.
Yeah, Washington's been giving a lot of points all year. I know earlier this year we talked about Washington,
right?
ASU, BYU. Yeah. They always seem to be giving 17. Right. I don't know if it's always warranted. I think this is one of those cases where it might be, only because I think Washington still has something to play for.
Really?
They're still in contention for the Pac-12 title. Why not? Of course, it means something. Yes. Of course.
I'm just saying.
They're not at the Ohio State Clemson level where it's playoff or bust. They still want to win that Pac-12 title. Yeah. And if Oregon stumbles to Washington State like I think they do, Washington is still in the Pac-12 lead. So
Washington's in the mix, guys. But you're right. They're overvalued in the sense that they're going to win the game. They'll probably always be up by 14 or 20, which is a betting man. There's no definitive side here. You know, like, do you trust Colorado? I thought Colorado a little bit exposed last week, to be honest.
Well, not only that,
Boulder.
Joe Mensah, Trayvon McMillan is not 100%, but LaViska Shenault is not 100%. To me, that changes the entire dynamic.
Like, what surprised you?
All
Miles Gaskin's not 100%.
Yeah, both running backs. Both their leading running backs.
Yes, but they still have Ahmed in the backfield, too.
Well,
but would it surprise anyone in the room if Washington's defense just suffocated them and sort of a boring 28-3 Washington win, right?
But here's the thing.
That's the direction I'm leaning in, by the way.
Perception. You said they're not in the same class as
as Clemson. In terms of expectations.
Right, but Vegas put them there because at the start of the year, they had this Power 5 bet where they had...
It was almost a sympathy play. Oh, let's feel sorry for the West Coast and give them something.
I agree with that. I don't think
they're Washington
an elite
are
team.
Very, very, very good. They're not great.
They're not exactly great.
Like James Franklin said, we're a very good program. We're not elite. And Washington is not elite
now. We'll see. It's a 3:30 kick. I'm taking the points. I even like them on the money line. I just think emotionally, can they bounce back in a big way? I mean,
I'll say the same thing about Colorado, though.
I would say, usually like Vegas, their thoughts usually doesn't come into play when you're on the field or you're part of the team. It's usually outside perception that affects more than the people that's playing the game.
Right. We'll see how that game plays out.
I'll say, and you're right, I don't think players give a crap about the point spread, but 3:30. In today's day and age, you can't avoid it.
That's the truth. That's why outside perception. That's
ESPN
important.
Didn't talk about spreads before.
Right.
If you're a kid sitting in your dorm room, you didn't know. Now the spread's everywhere. They're giving picks on college game day. Like there's gambling game. We're giving picks. It's everywhere. So I think the coaches definitely know the spread.
Yeah. We definitely.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
When you guys look, what was it? When you're a coach, you look at a spread. Is it to see what the perception is, or how?
Sometimes it's not so much the whole staff. Sometimes it's just the individual coach that might be one of those guys that really pays attention to the staff. I mean, to the spread. We all talk about it, but that's as far as it goes.
So they'll say, "Hey guys, they think we're losing by 14."
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So it might be a guy. Say his name is Rich. Exactly. Yeah.
We'll see. It should be an intriguing game. It's a 3:30 kick. I mean, I love those 3:30 games in Washington. Anyway, great atmosphere. One of the
sun
best atmosphere
setting over the lake. Yeah.
Washington and Tennessee with the river over right next to the stadium is unbelievable. I've been to Neyland Stadium. Yeah. Fantastic atmosphere. Check it out. I think we're in disagreement, but we'll see how that game plays out at 3:30. Turn our attention to an SEC West battle. It's Auburn and Gus Malzahn going up against Luke and the crew with Ole Miss. I mean, Auburn's dominated the series. They won 4 of the last 5 by 11 points per game. I was all over Tennessee last week. I think Ole Miss poses a lot of problems for this Auburn defense and secondary. And I'm not sold on Jarrett Stidham. I said it last week. They're averaging 7 yards per pass attempt. How do you bounce back from that loss against Tennessee as well?
I don't think you do.
Great call by you guys, too. I just want to state, because remember I rolled my eyes? I believe it was you specifically,
Joe. You always roll
Joe.
Your eyes at me. It's all
no,
right.
No,
I'm
I don't, to, actually. I'm immune. You think I come at you sometime, like I'm always against you. But... I was wrong. I didn't listen. I know Auburn are a train wreck, but I really didn't see that coming. So good call, Rick.
Yeah,
I just want to say good call by both of you.
We talked about it as a mindset game, that Jeremy Pruitt was still building something and Auburn was descending. I think that applies here as well, because Auburn is sinking further. Now, we've knocked Jared Garantano, the Tennessee quarterback. He was our offensive player of the week at the Maxwell Football Club. 328. He was one of the cleanest passers of week 7 against that Auburn defense. Now you go up against Jordan Tiamu and A.J. Brown. Metcalf is out for the season, but DeMarcus Lodge, still very talented at wide receiver. So now you have to try to stop that Ole Miss offense. And Ole Miss, this still matters to them. There will be no bowl game this year for Ole Miss. So every SEC game is heightened. I like the Rebels at home because I think Auburn has sort of packed it in at this point.
And here's the thing. I like the over in this game as well, because the only way you have to attack Ole Miss is their secondary's given up 289 passing yards per game. That's going to take Auburn out of their comfort zone. They can't run the football, Sam. They're averaging 156 rushing yards on the ground. When you can't run, you become one-dimensional. I mean, how does that factor into this?
Like we talked about before, you come one-dimensional and the DBs are just we know the ball is coming. We kind of like – because when you one-dimensional, not many teams, they might have 50 passes in their playbook. They don't run 50 passes per game. They have about 10 to 15 plays. So you start seeing the formations and routes developing before it even happens, and then it's just party at the ball.
I like the over here, Gabe. I think this is going to be a lot of points, whether Auburn wins or not. I like Ole Miss. I think they put the dagger into Gus Malzahn. And I'll say this as well. He's on the hot seat. Make no mistake about it.
The buyout is enormous, though.
I know, but
what is it, $38 million?
Enormous buyout.
Who do they get, though?
And they're reportedly
buy him out.
We talked about it last week.
Who do they get?
Yeah.
Who do they get?
What about a coach? And I'm not saying this is the coach for Auburn, but we talked about the guy. We were all sort of reaching for somebody. Yeah. What about Venables?
I don't know if he goes to Auburn, though.
That's a great job. It's a great job. How about
wouldn't he be the top guy?
How about our buddy Matt Campbell at Iowa State?
Would he go? I don't think he's ready yet.
He may not be ready. He would take it.
Aranda ready to be thrown in there?
Would they take Aranda? Would Aranda be a choice?
A little too soon for Aranda.
If I'm Auburn, I am not taking a coordinator. I need someone with proven head coaching. If you're going up against Nick Saban year in and year out, you need someone with proven head coaching experience.
So you think
Venables is a guy. That's why I said Matt Campbell.
That's why I said Matt Campbell.
Defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was in Oklahoma in the past.
Head coach has to be a younger head coach.
And an offensive mind, right?
Yeah, an offensive mind as well. That's a great point.
And we know down the road, not to get ahead of ourselves, but Dabo Sweeney most likely is the next head coach of Alabama.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
He's not even very happy at Clemson.
Yeah. He's very happy.
Until Nick Saban's not there anymore and he slides into the ultimate post.
It's going to be
very hard. And then he
pulls
a Scott Frost Auburn's and goes back to his alma mater. Right?
Auburn's in a tough spot. You know how they are.
I don't trust them. I'm done with these guys.
Was 13-0 his first year. They ran him out of town.
What are they playing for, Joe? You just talk about teams not playing for. What are Auburn playing for right now?
Nothing. Nothing.
Jared Stidham's stock is dropping.
Well, this is perfect for Sin. Do you play for pride? Because, I mean, now we see the landscape in college football. Guys like Nick Bosa, hey, I'm worried about me. There's no more team mentality in the millennial days of college football.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be where you play and you try to do the right things for your organization. People are playing for themselves now. They're thinking about the next level, thinking about how much money they can make, which is not a bad thing.
Right.
But you used to hide it better in the past.
Look at Bosa at Ohio State.
He got injured.
He said, "I'm out."
He's doing what's best for him.
Ready, but I'm not trying to get ready for the Rose Bowl. Right. I'm getting ready for the NFL draft. Right.
They're comparing $30 million to one college football game. That's kind of.
And here's the thing: when you're in the state of Alabama, and every day you open the paper and you see Nick Saban, you see Tua, you see Jalen Hurts. They're in the media. You pop on ESPN. There's a 30-minute segment, a show now.
They interviewed Tua during Monday Night Football halftime show.
Exactly.
That's the NFL team.
So who you lose this game, he's feeling the pressure. The kids are feeling the pressure because I can tell you that you go down the street in Auburn, they're hearing it from every fan on the street.
I happened to be in Alabama once the day after the Super Bowl. So it was the day after the Super Bowl, and I had the local newspaper. You know what was on the front page of the paper? Not a Super Bowl. Local recruiting battle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Alabama-Auburn recruiting battle, day after the Super Bowl. And it was where this quarterback kid, I forget, it was 2001, 2002 era, 2003 actually, where he was going. We got a ton of live movement, guys.
Uh-oh.
And it's almost like people are fading me. It's like they know what I want to take. LSU, they're fading all of us. LSU were down to 5.5.
Wow. I don't understand that.
How about this?
That's a hot
Clemson
game in
up
Vegas.
To 18.
That's a hot game in Vegas.
So
in which
Clemson
direction?
Up to 18.
Oh. Miss State.
So who's taking Clemson up to 18? Is this Johnny Public saying, oh, I'll take Clemson and blow them out? To move a game a half point at this time, it takes some money.
Yeah.
Somebody bet Clemson.
Here's the thing I think about Mississippi State. I think they look at the game against Auburn. They look at last year's game.
I don't think people believe in LSU, Joe. There's that constant belief LSU are not good. I still hear, I take calls and stuff. Joe Burrow sucks. Their offense sucks. They're scoring 32 points a game.
Because in today's college football, unless you're completing 71% of your passes and playing like an EA Sports type of offense, you're not a good quarterback.
Right. That's a good way
and
to
we
put
all
it.
Know, being around the game, that as long as you're a good game manager and don't turn the football over, it doesn't matter if you complete 54% of your passes. If you're putting your team in a position to score points, that's what you
want.
Then
you scramble for a third down. How do you do on third down conversion?
Are you a leader?
How are you leading the huddle?
Are you a leader? Yeah.
Another
thing
that's scary for the people is you think about it around this time every year. LSU loses, regardless of what they are doing.
Around this time,
night games, it seems like LSU is going to lose at some point, a game that we don't expect them to lose.
You're right. LSU will normally lose to they'll play down to the level of opposition.
No matter who the head coach is.
But I think Mississippi State are good enough that LSU aren't.
Oh, yeah.
And in past games and results, I think LSU.
Well, last year, a prime example. I don't think they're looking past Mississippi State. They lost 37-7.
They got burnt, blown out on the interior line. Arden Key, did he play in that game? I don't recall. Think he did, but that front seven of LSU got worn down by a big physical offensive line, and Nick Fitzgerald and that crew ran all over them. So, again, I think it does factor matchups. When you look at Mississippi State, defensively, too, a very underrated defense, are holding opposing offenses 116 rushing yards per game. So now if LSU becomes one-dimensional, they're going to have to convert on third downs. Mm-hmm. And that's that. Ultimately, that will dictate who wins the game. But for me, I still think it's LSU under the lights in Baton Rouge. As long
I like
as,
a more at 5.5.
And not only that, +9 in turnover margin. When you force turnovers, especially at home, you put your team in a position to score points. So we'll see how that game plays out. I want to duck in this game. ACC battle, Duke and Virginia quick. Virginia's won the last three games by 9.6 points per game. Picked up this win 28-21 last year. Coming off a very emotional win over Miami. There's no hangover. This is one of my best bets of the day. I love the Cavs over Duke later today, Rich.
Like the Cavs, don't love them. I'm a big Duke fan, was on Duke last week. They took care of me against Georgia Tech, and I think they'll continue to play well. I think Duke is a contender at this point to win the ACC Coastal. Solid defense. The only thing that concerns me about Virginia is one-dimensional. They don't have that passing game. Bryce Perkins more of a runner. Jordan Ellis has done a good job on the ground, and Bronco continues
fantastic
to coach up
John.
That defense. On the road this year, 0-2, did not play particularly well against Indiana.
NC State, though.
It's 7.5. It's more than a touchdown. I'll take the points.
To six. Almost down to six now.
Makes me nervous. I'll take the points, but this should be a competitive game.
I like them outright. I think you're seeing the big number because of the hangover effect. So that's why
I'll defer to you gentlemen on this one since you guys have been so good with Duke.
We're coming
into
break. Hold on. When we come back, we'll get our best bets for 12 o'clock. Keep it where it is.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Wow, we're rocking and rolling into week number 8. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and former New York Giant and Cincinnati Bearcat Sam Garns talking about all the ACC and Big 12 action. We're talking about Duke and Virginia. This is one of my best bets for 12 o'clock and the day. I love the Cavaliers here, guys. I know the hangover could possibly handcuff this team, but I still love what Bronco Mendenhall is doing. This is a team in 4-2 overall. Duke is 5-1. I mean, this is a critical battle within the conference. I
think ACC Coastal's wide open.
Wide open. I think Virginia wins this game. I say 10 points or more. I think
so
they're
double
the
digits.
Team.
Both these teams have been money makers. They're a combined 9-3 against the spread. Yeah. Virginia 5-1 ATS. Meanwhile, the Dukies are 4-2. You guys have had a very good handle on this Duke Blue Devil team, and I've been a day late dollar short with this team.
Richie's got a better feel with Duke.
I think the number's an accurate one. I can see Duke winning by 6.
Yeah.
I think Duke win this game by 6 to 7 points right around the number.
I think the number is being reflected because they beat Miami last week, Virginia. Now they have to go on the road.
The market doesn't know how to read Virginia, Joe. The market thinks Virginia's bad to win a game.
And that's why this was
But they've
team.
Struggled on the road. They're a better team at home.
Yeah, but I agree. They're 0-2 on the road, but they lost.
Who was the other loss? It was
NC State. 35-21. They played well.
Yeah, I forgot about
that.
I mean,
this is a team in NC State that has.
And they lost by 4 at Indiana and then 14 to NC State.
All right, but Indiana, let's be honest. Indiana's pretty good, solid. I mean, they're a physical team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So we'll see how that game plays out. We'll talk about Temple and Cincinnati. I like Temple here. Again, I like the way
line movement here, guys, too. Line movement was 3.
What's the weather? It's raining out here. Is the weather? Does weather affect it, Sam, in terms of, we know snow, you know, it's better for the
offense. Depends who you are.
What about a wet track?
It depends who you are. I've been around teams that have great offenses that throw the ball up and down the field, and you know if you get bad weather, you can't count on those points as a defensive player.
Saturday's fine, right? It's going to be raining tomorrow or cloudy tomorrow, but right now it's zero chance of participation, 10 miles an hour. To me, wind is the biggest impact on teams to throw the football, right?
And if you have a good defense, you know that it's in your favor as well. So to me, it favors you.
So, no, it's sunny in Philadelphia.
And that's another thing. Luke Fickle.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
Luke Fickle.
Couldn't resist, Rich.
Luke Fickle has done the same type of job that Mendenhall has done in Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
He's coached up the offense and defensive lines from a physicality perspective, and that's something that was lacking under Tommy Tuberville.
Right. Well, one thing about this team, a lot of people are picking Temple, but to me, if you think about it, Cincinnati has the number 4 ranked defense in NCAA, and they only give up 13.7 points a game. Temple cannot play offense. They're not very good at offense, so I'm trying to figure out where they're going to get the points from.
Yeah, we'll see. It's not one of my best plays. I like Temple here. I think they win. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I think it's low scoring, though.
It reminds me. I'm with you. I like Temple. Don't love the game. I still need to see more from Cincinnati. It reminds me a little bit of our Colorado discussion last week. Colorado, USC. I loved USC. And the main reason was Colorado was undefeated.
Right.
Oh, their opponents were 5-22. Right. I think Cincinnati's FBS opponents are 10-21.
Yeah. Right.
So similar situation. Listen, if they go to Philadelphia and beat a physical Temple team, then you know what? We got to seriously start talking about these guys as AAC contenders.
Yeah. We have about 15 minutes left before the 12 o'clock. So
we all have a lot of best bets.
Yeah. I'm going Michigan. Double digits over Michigan.
Joey Double D.
And Higdon and Evans, you're going to be laughing at me later. You're going to be yelling, Joey,
I'm a Michigan fan.
TCU upset City with the 8, the 7.5 over Oklahoma. And my Virginia Cavaliers, I'm not backing down now, 300-1 to start the year to win the ACC. But they'll be catching points the rest of the year. Bryce Perkins and the crew get it done on the road in Durham, Rich.
Yeah, let me rip off my 12 o'clock games. I like Army. I like both military academies. We're only talking 12 o'clock. I like Army against Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio has no experience against triple option. Kelvin Hopkins is doing a great job of running it for Army. Blew out Buffalo a couple of weeks ago, blew out San Jose State last week. Army headed in the right direction. I think that continues laying 7.5. I'm sticking on Iowa. Iowa has been good to me. I don't understand this line. Again, Vegas sometimes knows more than we
Game is smiling like a Cheshire cat over there.
Iowa laying 10. Here's the reason why, guys. Maryland does one thing well. They run the ball. Their passing attack is 124th in the country.
120 yards a game.
Yeah, they're not throwing the ball. All they can do is run it. Nobody's running the ball against Iowa, number one. Number two, Nate Stanley, who was off to a slow start in September, doing a phenomenal job in October, really feeding it to his tight ends. Iowa's rolling downhill. I'm not getting in the way of that locomotive. But laying just 10. I like Iowa. And finally, I'll go ahead with Joe. Oklahoma is one of my best bets of the day. I just don't see it. I haven't seen anything from TCU that leads me to believe they can keep up with that Oklahoma offense, well-rested, motivated, ready to make a run at a Big 12 title. I like the Sooners.
Yeah, here's the thing, Gabe. I know a lot of people in Vegas, they think Maryland's this elite team. They were 4-8 last year.
Right.
They got beat up on the interior by the better teams in the Big Ten. And just because there's wind at 33 miles an hour, that justifies the line coming from 13 down to 8.5, 7.5, and DJ Durkin coming back?
You know what's amazing, actually? I like the Terps in this spot. I like the Terps.
Best bet or no?
It has made the best bet list.
Oh, my God.
It has made the best bets list. As you guys mentioned.
Why, though? What do you see?
I think it's going to be a physical, low-scoring football
game. But Maryland's not physical.
And the Maryland Terrapins, what they've shown me the resiliency this year. I don't know how they've done it. You know, they went into Michigan. They hung around. They were hanging around in the first quarter in that game, Joe. The wheels started to fall off as the game went on. This Terp team has some nice skill position talent. I think they've got some talent in the interior. I think they're going to be able to slug and battle with Iowa. It's one of these weird matchups, too. Maryland's 2-0 against the spread the last two times they played against the Iowa Hawkeyes. I've been dead wrong on Iowa, guys. And this, I'm not going to lie to you. This is one of these games where I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Like a date gone bad or something.
Yeah, no, it's like, I know what I'm doing. It's like signing a check, and I'm like, I can't afford this. It's going to bounce. It's like I'm signing a check that's going to bounce
so
here.
So why would you, why you say it yourself, are you going to go to the window and back Maryland for that's going to be the one game you're going to go
with? I already clicked it.
Oh, my God, he clicked
it. It's done.
Here's the thing. I picked Iowa at the start of the year to win the division, too.
So that's not one of them. We got it up on the screen here. So let's go Michigan State. Michigan State plus the points. Maryland Terrapins plus the points. Iowa win by 6 or 7 points. Alabama and Tennessee over to number 57.5. This one's intriguing. Where's Pruitt from? He's one of Saban's guys. Saban generally doesn't run the score up on one of his boys. But I got a total of 57.5 with a team that averages 56 points a game. I'm going to take the over in that football game. This is a number, guys, I don't understand. We'll talk about it in the third hour of the show. I don't. UCLA should have been favored by 10 points against anybody.
That's your guy. Well,
that has been going up. How much has that line gone up since Sunday?
Khalil Tate's out.
Yeah, Khalil Tate's out. So what?
Yeah.
Khalil Tate's been all hyped this year. Yeah. Can it be any worse?
Chip Kelly, everybody loves Chip Kelly. Got his first win. They think
Two weeks ago, they wanted to bag him. Now, you know, they want him in a body bag. Now they love him. They're laying 10 with him. UCLA should be laying 10 points. NC State's up to 18 right now. LSU's down to 5.5. People are fading us like crazy.
I love those last two picks, by
the
way.
And then USC Trojans plus the points.
We're on the same side.
Finally on the same side.
Yes, baby. Me and the Canuck. Gabe Morency, I love it.
Let's all grab hands and sing Kumbaya.
The pedigree of the +7. I like what Daniels is doing. Love those wide receivers.
I'm not sold on Utah. We'll get into that later.
On who?
On Utah. I'm not sold on that.
No. I mean, Huntley's played a couple of good games. So what?
Let's get back to Iowa quickly. I picked him at the start of the year to win the
division. Oh, an added pick. Sorry, guys, just for all the degenerates out there. I'm adding a bunch of picks here for the...
the scroll.
Keep scrolling.
Just scroll the board.
For the 12 o'clock. I'm laying the points with Northwestern.
Okay.
So I'm going to lay the 20 with Northwestern. Taking Temple on the money line, -140. And I'm with you. I say the Oklahoma Sooners roll and win a high-scoring game.
Gonna
it's
going to
be one of these 51-38, 48-37.
That'll work.
Yeah, high-scoring Sooners win and cover, added picks.
Well, let's give some 12 o'clock picks that we haven't talked about. Like Wisconsin, I think, steamrolls Illinois. They haven't covered at home, if I'm not mistaken, at all this year.
Figure out Wisconsin. They have not been a good cover team this year.
No, but this is a game. I mean, if you're going to cover, it's going to be the week after you give up 320 yards to Michigan.
Let's stay away, folks, because I don't know where Wisconsin's head is after last week's shellacking at the hands of Michigan. How about North Carolina Syracuse? That's a 12:20 game.
North Carolina Syracuse. I can't take North Carolina.
I would take Syracuse.
I like
off the break.
-8 in turnover margin.
I know Syracuse
they stepped
well,
up.
Yeah.
You had North Carolina last week. I watched that game. Great pick by you.
And thank you for bringing up turnover margin. That just rang an alarm bell. Maryland Terrapins, 5th in the country in turnover margin and number 1
You're
in the Big Ten.
You're still trying to pitch Maryland.
Stay away from
Maryland. Yes, like, that's how serious I am.
I did not take the game.
I'm on Maryland.
Just sell it.
Put it this way. I'm going to watch that game on the computer. That's not going to be a game I'm watching today. So you're all in on the Terps. We'll see how that game plays out. Is it a 12 o'clock kick or
it is?
30?
It is. Yeah. 12 o'clock.
I think
kick.
It's 12, yeah.
I'm a little off with all my times here.
It's kind of strange. You have Michigan and Michigan State right off the board at 12 o'clock, out of the gate.
So that's good. That's a great. I love when they come right out of
Oklahoma,
the gate.
Oklahoma, TCU, same thing.
Yeah, perfect.
12 o'clock.
Well, I'll be reporting a TCU update. Sean Robinson to Rager.
Boy.
46-yard touchdown.
It doesn't
matter.
With that Oklahoma offense, you're never far behind from covering.
The game hasn't kicked off.
6 wins.
Game hasn't kicked off yet. At least he's got touchdown passes going.
Touchdown, Joey, double digits. Again, I'll say this. I like the over in LSU. I know it doesn't look that way, but I think LSU, if they get up and a chance to step on Mississippi State's throat, they're going to do it. Again, I'm not sold as well. I mean, when you force 3 and out, Sam, and that's the one thing from a defensive perspective, it invigorates your offense to know that you're going to get a short field.
Yeah, you know, the offense, they want to be on the field. And defense, we have one goal. That's to get the ball back to the offense as soon as possible. So when you do that, everybody's happy. Offense is on the field. Defense is on the bench, catching their breath. So you go back out there and do it again.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you like the over in that matchup? He's engrossed. He's clicking Maryland first half. Maryland second half.
Over a couple
Maryland
minutes away.
Total points for the game.
We're a couple minutes in. What game? What's the total?
LSU, it's 46.5, I believe.
You're always forcing totals on me, Joe. You like the totals?
I know. You do that to me, too.
He does all the time.
I don't think about under over too much.
Yeah, it happens all the time, Rich. We give a pick. What about the total?
To me, it's too unpredictable. It's too wacky.
I'll go over, Joe, if I had to. Over.
If it hits me, I have an under over. But I like picking the games.
I like, if I don't have a feel in a game,
I didn't know we had to give a total pick, too, for every game we give.
No, you don't have to.
How about first half totals?
All right, we got a couple minutes here. We'll do a last blast here, too, before 12. Any games that we missed? All right, Pittsburgh Brew says he likes Maryland as well. For the record, Teddy covers our boy Ted Savransky. He's on the Maryland Terrapins. All right, guys, any last-second games, let us know, and we'll get to your last-second games. I got a lot of early action here.
Ty Story not playing for Arkansas. 12 o'clock game against Tulsa, lined open at 3.5. Up to 7, it'll be
I'm
Kelly.
I'm glad you brought that up. I kind of like Arkansas in this spot.
I don't like the game.
I don't
love the game, but I like Arkansas. Yeah. Tulsa just cannot beat an FBS opponent right now. Arkansas trending in the right direction. Should not have blown that game against Ole Miss last week. Arkansas should have gotten the victory for Chad Morris. Didn't happen, yeah. But I think they do that against Tulsa today. Yeah, 3.5 is too low of a line.
Northwestern Rutgers, 50 down to 48.5. Again, I would take the over there.
How about the total on the Rutgers-Northwestern game, Gabe? What do you got?
I like the over.
As it is now, it's 48.5. Yeah. It's pretty low. I'm not forcing anything. I don't want to end up like Jimmy Hoffa in the end zone over there, you know?
The total in...
I'm laying 20 points. I'm laying 20 points for Northwestern.
The total in Iowa dropped 9 points. So it's
44.5 now.
I see 42, 43.
44.5 is current.
All right, maybe it popped back up. It got down to his low.
I'm all over Nate Stanley today.
He's one of the... When you look at the quarterbacks in the Big Ten, I mean, we talk about Haskins, rightfully so. But, I mean, he's quietly having
a... You know who's sneaking up? We'll get to this game in a bit. David Blau. Your boy Blau.
He is.
Little boy Blau.
He's got more. He's got DJ Knox and Markel, DJ Knox, excuse
and
me.
Rondell and Rondell Moore.
Does Nebraska get it? We got a couple of minutes here. We're getting
Nebraska is breaking out in a big way today. They're getting
they
their first win.
I don't trust them.
I think they will too.
They're going to get a win, Sam?
I think they'll get a win this week.
I can't take a team that hasn't won Lane Wood. I just can't do it. The way they lost that ball game last week.
It's a little different, though. It's against a better Northwestern team on the road.
This was the game you and I driving in the car last year.
Yeah, we almost
killed
each other.
Minnesota put up a 50 spot with Dimery Croft running all over that defense.
Where Dimery Croft transferred? Do we know where he's winding up?
I think he went local, but like a community school. I got to double check.
I could see him with Willie Fritz's Tulane.
Buffalo Bulls here. This is another 12 o'clock game. I got to get in on the Bulls, but it's not Toledo.
I would take Buffalo.
I will get Nas. Joe?
I told you, I like Toledo.
Sam?
Who's that starting outside linebacker for Buffalo? That's what I want to know. Who's the starting outside linebacker for Buffalo?
Khalil Hodge.
Khalil Hodge.
They actually got a new kid, though. The new kid's pretty good. What's his name, Rich?
Well, I don't know.
You're taking Buffalo?
I'm leaning Buffalo here. I can't bet every game, though.
Sam, were there schools?
North Texas and UAB.
Oh, I love UAB at home. Yeah, I love UAB at home in that
North
game.
North Texas and UAB. Joe?
I lean UAB. I don't like the finesse of...
Big Bill Clark fan.
One thing I'll bring up, guys.
North Texas giving up 95 rushing yards.
I want to bring this up, actually. So last week, there were 49 games. Mm-hmm. 34 of them went under the number.
Okay.
34-15 to the under. Wow. And I don't know if you recall, remember we were talking about North Texas and Amin Green last week?
Every game was under.
And I said they're 0-6 to the under. They went under again last week. Wow. They went under again last week.
That's because Vegas
every
is
game,
putting
how do we
70.
Not take it then under, guys? And we're leaving it on the table. Every game, the North Texas Mean Green, every game has gone under the
number.
You
know why? Because their defense is a lot better this year.
It's much improved.
Giving up
92. And Mason Fine has not been 100%. But you're right, though, Joe. That North Texas defense has been better than
very
expected
underrated.
This year.
And this, I'm curious
52
to see,
and a half right
curious
now.
To see that matchup against UAB because you have a blue-collar team with Bill Clark and UAB.
Post-style offense.
I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's going to be
about
an
this,
NFL
guys?
Guy.
The UAB Blazers, 5 unders, 1 over on the season.
Wow.
We're a combined 12-1 of the under.
Well, you know what? That brings us back
Add that to the best bets. Just imagine there's
under
like a
North Texas
on the
and UAB.
There.
You know, we're talking about coaches for Auburn.
Right.
How about Bill Clark? How about Bill Clark?
Yeah, that's a
he's
good.
He's right in Birmingham.
That's a perfect fit because he resurrected that program. I mean, twice now. I mean, what
maybe
he did,
that's
should
a name.
Never lost
it's his... a bit of a reach because obviously it's a huge step up to go from Conference USA
to
the
throw,
SEC.
No doubt.
But
what are you going to give him? $2.5-3 million? You wouldn't have
I'm
to
sure
pay him.
I'm sure it would be more than that.
Think so?
For that level of job, it'd have to be closer to $4 million. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we talked about it on last week on the ride home. I mean, Les Miles was maybe does he go to Auburn? I mean, if they want him, he's not an Auburn guy.
Why isn't Les Miles a head coach right now?
Oh no, that's a good question. I think about all the time. Like, I think there's like a negative energy around him. I don't know. I don't want to sound like 2018 kid, but it seems like that's what it is because he was a good coach.
Oh yeah,
LSU played well. They might went 10-1, 10-2, lost a couple games they're not supposed to lose, but they always went 10-1, 10-2.
Not a lot of coaches that win double digits in the SEC on a yearly
basis.
Pair him up
with a quality offensive coordinator because offense was the problem in Baton Rouge. Pair him with a quality offensive coordinator. I think somebody should hire him.
Think about all the great receivers that came out of that program.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Why haven't
year
they? Why didn't they perform in college?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with Les Miles. We know he wants to run the football, and work off of play action pro style.
And when that happens, no quarterback wants to go there. Right.
And number two, no AD or fan base wants that in today's landscape of college football unless you're Nick Saban. So we'll see. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the other games. Keep it where it is.